It has been a turbulent decade here in Vancouver, to say the least.
Check me out, y'all.
Halford and Brock.
In your area.
That's right.
About to cause mass hysteria.
Sportsnet 650. 650.
Hughes a drop. He scores.
I've never seen a young defenseman like Quinn Hughes.
It's halftime.
Horvat with two. Horvat with three. Patrick.
Look at this. I'm the captain.
It was halftime.
Now Besser off the drift one. Accepted by Patterson. He scores.
Playoff atmosphere. Look at the boys go. Crank it up. Let's go.
7:05 on a Tuesday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. So prior to going to break in the first hour of the program, spent a lot of time talking about the multitude of trades that the Vancouver Canucks orchestrated yesterday, including the Adam Gaudette for Matthew Highmore trade. Matthew Highmore on his way to Vancouver from Chicago. He's also going to be on the Halford and Brough show today at 8:30 in the morning. Yes, that's right. One of the two new Canucks, Matthew Highmore, right here on Sportsnet 650 at 8:30. Jason astutely pointed out that by trading Adam Gaudette to the Chicago Blackhawks, the Canucks may have alleviated an expansion draft issue because they don't have to protect Adam Gaudette anymore. I don't know if you're aware of this.
They have to protect Highmore now.
Right. I don't know if you're aware of this, but players on your roster, you don't have to protect them. It's one of the many nuances of the expansion draft that we're going to break down for you here. Now, I don't want to get... Part of me is as hesitant to do this because it's like, oh, it's the expansion draft. It's not that far away. Mm-hmm. And it's a big deal on two fronts. One, because you're going to lose a player. But two, it could be an opportunity for the Canucks. It is 3 months away. 88 days to be exact. July 21st. It is going to be a major moment for this team in the offseason. There's going to be the draft, there's going to be free agency, and there's going to be the expansion draft. And all three are related to one another when it comes to transactions, moving pieces in and out, and what have you. 88 days away, 3 months, trade deadline, expansion draft. So it's a thing, and if you hear about a lot of the deals that the Canucks are doing right now, a lot of the analysis you will get is this also helps out with regards to the expansion draft. So we had a couple questions into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650.
Well, a couple questions and comments. First from Tyler. You are expecting Benning to weaponize an asset like protection spots. He didn't weaponize cap space. I will not be holding my breath. Mike in Aldergrove, if the Canucks are proactive before the expansion draft, the credit should go to Brough. Huh? For mentioning it to Benning last week during his press conference. I'm pretty sure I wasn't the first person to mention that to Jim Benning. I have heard that it has been discussed within the organization, and here's what Jim Benning had to say about it.
Yeah, we've talked about that already. We're going to get some Podkolzin signed, for next year. He'll be in the fold. Cole Lind, we want to get a good look at him, going forward here. But, I think, that's an avenue that we talked about. We're not going to have any expansion issues. So, if there's something that's available for us to add players to our group, we're going to look to do that.
So here's another text into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. Can you give your listening audience an example of how the Canucks can take advantage of the expansion draft rules? It's pretty simple. Call every team and go, is there a player you can't protect that you don't want to lose in the expansion draft?
Don't want to lose for nothing.
Don't want to lose for nothing in the expansion draft. And if there is, and if that player is better than the last player you expect to protect, try and make a deal for that guy. It's not going to land you. It's not going to land you like an amazing player, mm-hmm. right? Because most teams, most teams will protect their guys. And after they're protected, list, you're kind of like, no one really stands out there. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there are opportunities there.
Sure.
Sometimes there are opportunities to take advantage, and you just got to make the calls, and you got to put in the legwork. And if you've read The Athletic or you read The Athletic, Harmon Dial and Thomas Drantz have come up with some names. I mean, Drantzer has been talking about, for example, Vince Dunn in St. Louis forever. He's a defenseman with the St. Louis Blues. Will the Blues be able to protect him? If not, well, try and make a deal for him. And if you like him as a player, there actually was a trade yesterday. Didn't get a lot of attention, but I think it might have been made with the expansion draft in mind, and that was Hayden Fleury, the defenseman for Carolina, getting traded to Anaheim because Carolina, as we all know, has a bunch of good defensemen. They weren't going to be able to protect them all. Hayden Fleury was looking like the odd man out, so they just felt like, all right, let's ship Hayden Fleury out for, I don't even know what came back, some defenseman again that I'd never heard of from Anaheim, and that's the way they dealt with it. So take Hayden Fleury off the list, I suppose, unless Anaheim can't protect him. But regardless, that's the idea. Mm-hmm. And again, we're talking about marginal improvements here. We're not talking about hitting a home run. So this might be a great opportunity for the Canucks to add another player to the bottom six.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's unlikely that they're going to be able to add a top four defenseman, but you never know.
No, I mean, you could.
This is where pro scouting comes in.
You could identify a defenseman that you think with some time and maturity and opportunity could move into that spot, but I don't think you're going to get a top four ready guy. The idea, I mean, it's all about finding guys that are not in ideal situations. And if you look at the names that are out there, I mean, I don't want to put all of Drantz and Harm's work out there for everybody to see. But I mean, if you look at the forwards that they were talking about, it's names like Zach Sanford, Sammy Blais, Matthew Joseph, Zach Aston-Reese, Warren Fogle out of Carolina. Guys that you're like, okay, you'd bring them in and you'd see if they fit and maybe something clicks here where you're like, that was a good find. It's a bit of minutia and it's a bit of inside baseball when you're talking about the grand scheme of things. But for this team right now, take it a step back. Go big picture. Everything this team does now is within that window of what Jim Benning threw down of we want to be right back at the, or not right back, but at the pinnacle in 2 years. So you have to start looking at these very small moves as very profound things. Because the reality is, and we just talked about this with Bourne, you've hitched your wagon and you're about to do it financially, more so, to Pettersson, to Hughes, Horvat's going to be there, Miller's going to be there, Demko's already there, Hughes is on the back end, Myers is on the back end, Schmidt's on the back end. Like, those pieces are there. So you need to reconfigure your cheap contracts and your bottom of the roster guys in a much more sensible way than you've done in the past. So no more relying on a guy like Roussel, no more going out and chasing a guy like Beagle, and no more going out and acquiring a guy like Brandon Sutter in a trade. Mm-hmm. Like, these are the deals where you bring a guy in who's relatively young and isn't making a lot of money, and here's the key. If it doesn't work out, it's really easy to get out from under. That's Brian, the big thing.
Brian in Coquitlam texts in, and I'm not sure he understands.
Okay.
If the Canucks get someone from a team that they can't predict, couldn't Seattle just take the player from the Canucks? No. It's the other team that can't protect that player. The Canucks would have a protection spot for that player.
Right.
My point.
Yeah. Look, the Vancouver would acquire the player.
Yes.
To protect him.
The whole point is that you've got players on the Canucks that are probably going to get protected. That on, they're kind of like I guess we'll protect this guy. But if we were to lose this guy in the expansion draft, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Mm-hmm. So let's try and get an upgrade on that guy. Again, it is marginal improvement here.
Exactly. Don't get us wrong. We know what we're talking about. We know we're talking about the marginal upgrade of your roster.
But that's how you get better.
But I think if we want to try and make it a little bit more relatable to people that don't understand the expansion draft and, you know, the intricacies of it, it's what I just said. What your identity is as a club, that's pretty much established right now. Like, you are what you are as the Canucks with Pettersson, Hughes, Horvat, Miller.
Yeah,
Demko is a big part of it now. And those guys are set. And it's why the Pearson thing got so much criticism. I think is because people started making, as they are wont to do, especially on Twitter, started going down real rabbit holes and making it about specific things. The big picture thing is, was it a terrible contract? Terrible is a stretch, but could you get that at a better efficiency, more market efficiency? And the answer was unquestionably yes.
And it's all about efficiency now.
Right.
It's about efficiency in general under a hard salary cap, but with the flat salary cap, even more so.
Like
now,
Troy
the Bread Guy, I get this, okay? And we're going to move on from the expansion cap because Troy the Bread Guy texts in and says, so we're going to spend 88 days discussing protection of our junk or picking up someone else's junk. Wake me on July 22nd.
Well, yeah, I get you. I hear you, Troy the Bread
Guy. I get it, but I don't think necessarily it has to be someone else's junk. I think with good pro scouting, there should be some opportunities out there. There are some good teams out there with a lot of good players. Fortunately, the Canucks don't have that problem.
Right now,
expansion draft.
Right now, the NHL is in a very unique situation because of the pandemic, because you can't spend over the cap. Again, I don't think people understand this quite enough. Like, when I talk about the NBA model exists with the allowance to go. If you want to go over the cap, go ahead, but it's going to cost you a hell of a lot of money.
Yes.
You can't in the NHL. Mm-hmm. What does that create? Big picture, it creates a scenario where teams that, and Tampa Bay is a perfect example, teams that draft well and have a stockpile of good young talent end up getting penalized in the end because they can't keep everybody. You need to be able to find ways to attack that.
You have to know everyone else's roster intimately.
Vegas was a perfect example. Nate Schmidt signed there with the understanding that he was going to be a part of the Golden Knights for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then a year later, the whole thing changed. And that's what you have to kind of understand here, is that opportunities are going to present themselves across the league now. Because teams that kind of made deals and signed guys within the last 2 years did so with the expectation that the cap was going to grow year over year. No one signed deals over the last few years expecting there to be a flat cap. So can you take this and make it a strength of yours?
Chris from The Rich texts in, should the Canucks protect Tyler Myers? I feel like it's a win-win not to. On the one hand, his contract is massive, and the Kraken might not want to touch it. If you expose him, you can protect someone else. And if they do take him, if the Kraken do take him, well, you freed up $6 million. I'll be very curious to see what the Canucks do with Tyler Myers. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that it's Jim Benning's first instinct to protect Tyler Myers.
Just because like, it's what you do.
He's, no.
But no, I know.
It would be like, well, if we lose Tyler Myers, we'll have to get another defenseman in. You're like, yeah, but he's not good, and he's not that good, and he's
not
worth the money, right?
Roll the dice. See if they'll do it.
But then you've got to find another player on the right side.
Oh, absolutely. It would be a risk. Mm. Also, do you think his feelings would be hurt?
Tyler Myers?
Yeah. If he doesn't get protected. I remember that being a thing. I remember that being a thing when Vegas came around.
That doesn't matter.
We talk about feelings?
Yeah.
This is professional sports. You don't talk about feelings.
No. Tyler's a very sensitive young
get
man.
Get out of here.
We are talking about feelings.
Yeah.
Yesterday we were talking about nannies. Today we're talking about feelings. Stop it.
We talked about nannies yesterday?
Yeah, this guy.
We didn't listen to me on
oh,
the show
that nanny.
At all.
I did. I'm sorry. I just didn't remember the context. Yeah, when we were talking about
when you were being a bleeding heart.
The hard done by millionaires and their nannies. Yeah. Yes. No, I remember now. No. I only bring it up because I remember we were working at NBC when Vegas broke into the league, so we had to cover all the teams. And there was a sentiment around that guys got upset when they didn't get protected because they felt slighted by their teams. Mm.
This is professional sports, man.
You're. Are
these,
you being
these drops or?
That's fine. I don't mind now.
You don't like iMac? Come on.
Okay.
He's got some gold. Anyway, continue.
I feel like you're being a tad disingenuous by not understanding that that's like a legitimate thing. And that when guys get their noses out of joint, have you watched the NBA over the
when
last few years?
I get that.
Yeah.
But as a GM, you're not, you're not managing people's feelings.
I'm
well,
not.
You kind
I
of are actually.
Yeah, you are.
Special sports. You are.
The M stands for manager. You manage everything.
Yeah, but not.
You do.
No.
Yeah. And a coach does too.
Do you think an unhappy player could damage a team potentially?
Sure, but we're talking about expansion here. Your okay. main priority as a general manager is to protect your best
yes.
assets.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you cannot take feelings into account when you are considering which assets you most need to
but
protect.
But I didn't
I
ask.
Agree with you there, but do you think it happens?
Yeah, I didn't ask if it matters. I asked if he would.
If it does, it's flawed. That's
well,
my
there's
answer.
A lot of things flawed.
Yeah, there's a lot. Of,
like, just add it to the pile.
I feel like we're having a big like, picture conversation about feelings and their ramifications on life. What we're talking about, and it was mostly meant jokingly, but like, if you're Tyler Myers, remember when he signed?
Yeah.
That was a big deal because it was the Canucks made him their target and they took him to Blue Water and they're like, Tyler, you can order whatever you want on the menu. Okay? You can have an appetizer and a dessert. You can have whatever you want. You're our guy.
Yeah, he also came, he signed in Vancouver specifically because he wanted to be in BC as well.
I'm just saying, the bigger picture I was trying to get at here, I've said big picture a lot today, but
yeah.
bigger picture thing that I was trying to get at here is that a lot of these guys that are in Vancouver right now, and I think of JT Miller and Nate Schmidt specifically,
sure.
have gone down that road where they thought that they were signing on to be a part of something, and then very quickly into that, were told that they weren't.
Sure, but in the context of this conversation, mm-hmm. they're protecting those two guys. You don't have to worry about their feelings. When mm-hmm. we're talking about a guy like Tyler Myers,
yep.
feelings be damned. If I can't protect you, I can't protect you.
Oh, that would right? be the, oh, I'm not saying that they should take it into account. Like, I think you'll have to have a conversation where like, Tyler, I know we hurt your feelings.
But
however you remain unprotected.
Yeah. Here's $30 million.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, let's, you know, it's like they're not going to sit down and do like the trust fall just to kind of build back up the relationship.
They should, though.
Tyler,
they should.
He's so big.
Oh, I dropped him.
Yeah. He's on the ground. But I do, it's funny. I just remember it being a thing because your ego would take a hit without question.
Sure.
Right? Because what you're saying is, Tyler, I think that there's a low enough of a percent of a chance that this team will take you that I'm willing to expose you. And Myers knows the exact same thing, right? So there's that dynamic to deal with. And you can't tell me that it doesn't exist.
Probably does.
Yeah. You can't tell me that it doesn't exist because it does, right? Again, what Bruff's saying is that the logical thing for Benning to do is like, well, we'll protect Tyler Myers because the risk of losing him, even if it's small, would still exist. But I understand what you're saying is you're like, could you go into this and say, I'm willing to take that risk because I could potentially get another defenseman, protect him, and make a deal for a guy that otherwise maybe wouldn't be available. Flat cap situation with an expansion draft. Something might fall to me here. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about, everyone talks about the margin for between winning and losing and being successful and unsuccessful in the NHL is incredibly small. That a lot of times it's a crapshoot, and a lot of times you go into an 82-game season and you throw your roster out there and you're like, let's see what happens. If that is the case, then I go back to what a lot of guys have been saying over the last few years is that the small moves all of a sudden become awfully bigger. Because if it's a 1% chance of improving your team or a 2% chance of making you better, then you need to focus on those things.
Tyler on the mountain texts in, Dom is Bert Hutt that he wasn't protected in the 650 expansion draft and ended up with Halford and Bruff.
I wake up at 4 now.
Yeah. Matt and Abby, is Myers able to expose himself? Yep, there we go. All right.
That's better. Let's bring this back to them.
I am very much looking forward to speaking with Thomas Drantz, who is going to be a huge Leafs fan in the playoffs. We had a rather.
By the way, I played Would You Rather with my son the other day.
Oh, yeah.
My affliction hasn't been passed down through the genes.
Oh, good for him.
He can say it properly.
Good, good.
And he looks at me when I say it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? You're a gigantic adult.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I am. It's just a tough word to say out loud.
So what I was saying before you rudely interrupted me.
I didn't rudely interrupt you.
I had a back and forth with Thomas Drantz last night. And I'm going to find the text exchange right now because...
This is good radio.
Here's one text that I sent. I hate you right now. And another one is, I don't care. When Drantz said, It's good for the league for the Leafs to do well. And it all started out when I said, you have no idea how much I want the Leafs to choke. To which he responded, you're a monster. Thomas Drantz,
that's real rude.
Massive Leafs fan, and he's going to have to explain at 8 o'clock on the Halford and Brough show on Sportsnet 650 at 8:30, newest Canuck, Matthew Highmore. Who are you, Matthew Highmore? What kind of player are you? Are you like Tyler Mott? Because everyone's probably acting like you're a lot like Tyler Mott. It is the Halford and Brough show on Sportsnet 650.
The key to motivation is trust. Let me show you what I mean. I want you to close your eyes and fall backwards and I'll catch you. That's going to show you what trust is all about. Ready?
All right.
3, 2, 1 second. Hello. Oh, my God, a guy's on the floor. That was a phone call. Don't chalk that up to mistrust now.
7:30 on a Tuesday. Halford Brough, TSN 1040. That was Jim Benning and Tyler Myers doing their trust fall.
You have no idea the hoops we had to jump through to get one good Simpsons clip played on this show.
Come on. The hoops?
Send it to Tom. And I told him.
Dom.
Send it to Dom. And then I said, play this on the way out. And he screwed that up. So we had to play it over music, which didn't really work. The timing was off.
I thought it played well.
I'm staying out of whatever's going on right now. I'll interject to remind you that the Halford and Brough Show in the Morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. Business assets to sell? If so, email them at sales@ableauctions.ca. So here's the thing. We have royally screwed up programming here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650, as we are wont to do. I was supposed to put out a call for what we learned really early in the hour, and we were supposed to be doing them right now, because the 8 o'clock hour is jammed. Probably the most enticing hour of this program. Thomas Drantz is going to join us at 8, and one of the two new Canucks, Matthew Highmore, formerly of the Chicago Blackhawks, the player acquired for Adam Gaudette, is going to join us at 8:30. So what we've got to do now is ask you, the listeners, for what we learns, get them in, hashtag them WWL. You can text to 650-650. That's the Dunbar Lumber text line. You can also get us on Twitter at Sportsnet650. He's at Sad Club Commish, C-O-M-M-I-S-H. I'm at Mike Halford, 604. What did you learn over the last 24 hours in sports? Now, there's no shortage of things that you may have learned, a lot of them hockey-related. We haven't really got to the rest of the NHL as to what they did during the trade deadline. We got a real short segment here because we want to leave some time for humanoid what we learns. That'll be coming up in the final segment of the hour. But right now, we could whip around real quick, do some of the other NHL stories. We can circle back on our poll question and dig in a little bit more to the Adam Gaudette story. Jason, where would you like to go?
Who do you think had the best day, or not the day, who do you think had the best NHL trade deadline? You can go buyer, seller.
Okay,
who would it be?
I had three in particular.
Okay,
one, and I hate leading with this, but I think it'll tie nicely into your pending fight with Thomas Drantz as the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think that the aggression that Dubas went after things this year is exactly what you do when you know there's a gigantic opportunity on the horizon.
Yeah.
Like, let's make no mistake here. The way that this road has opened up for the Leafs, where you have to beat Montreal in the first round and then the winner of Edmonton and Winnipeg. And if you can do that, you're in the conference final, basically. That, to me, is a huge opportunity. You have to take advantage
Who is Foligno expected to play with? Tavares?
That's a great question.
Would he replace
Would
he replace Mikhaev, maybe? And
right.
Then you'd have Foligno, Tavares, and Zach Hyman as your second line?
Right. I mean, I would assume he would move up. He's a left winger by trade, so he could probably move up and down. And I would assume that he could probably be could he play on his off wing in a pinch? I would imagine. You know, I think he's going to be more of a guy that they're going to find situational uses for.
You know who's going to be under a lot of pressure in Toronto to have a good playoffs? John Tavares.
Yeah, for sure.
Because his game has fallen off a little bit. He's got the big contract with a bunch of years remaining. And I think he's getting some more criticism in Toronto than he did, certainly at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
If he is the center for the new guy, then he's going to have to be good because you want the new guy to look good as well.
Right. If Foligno becomes his winger, he's going to need to prop up Foligno a little bit. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of role Foligno does end up playing there. We mentioned this yesterday, but I know the Leafs got an awfully long look at him in that upset loss to Columbus in the play-in round last year. And I'm sure he left some sort of mark on Sheldon Keefe and the coaching staff. So one, I thought the Leafs had a really good trade deadline. Who else was a quote-unquote winner yesterday? I think Taylor Hall. I think Taylor Hall walks away from this ending up on the best team that he's ever played for and some real potential to turn around what has been just a disaster year. I couldn't imagine a guy whose stock is fallen any lower if only because of the heights that it reached, if that makes sense. Like, guys' stocks can plummet, but guys also don't always win the Hart Trophy 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be going into a contract year. I think there's going to be an opportunity to, one, play on a second line with Krejci where so much focus is going to be on the perfection line, and two, get some power play time with guys that just are so good with the man advantage. I think that's a real
win.
Would
he be on the first unit power play, though?
You could. If you hell, go five forwards.
No.
Why not? Why not try some things?
Because McAvoy is pretty good as a...
Yeah, McAvoy's hurt right now, though. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're going to go 4-1. But if you want to get in the regular season, Jason, right now, with what's left, time to experiment with some things, right?
Okay.
Let's see what happens. I really like
Boston, Washington could be a war of a series.
I'm glad you brought up Washington because I think that Mantha deal for them was fascinating and really intriguing because it's not your typical trade deadline rental.
Does Mantha play a heavy game? He is a big dude.
Right.
But does he play
that style? I wouldn't
classify
it as heavy. But the consistency in which he scores goals is hard to ignore, especially for a team that has been terrible the last few years. And I remember covering him.
They gave up a lot to get him.
A ton. They had to get Ponick's money off the books. So I think part of that played into it.
Okay.
Like, we need to get rid of Ponick, so we will throw in something as well. But, I mean, some people have pointed out, they're like, well, Verana's numbers aren't that far off Mantha's. And, yeah, there's something to be said there. But remember, Jacob Vrana was playing with the Washington Capitals, and Anthony Mantha has played with, it's been a terrible team since he's broken in to the NHL. When he was in junior, he was an elite, elite scorer. So those are the three that I really liked.
What we learn time now, because Thomas Drantz is going to be at 8 o'clock and we're going to have a fight.
So
8:30, Matthew Highmore, newest Vancouver Canuck, acquired yesterday in a trade for Adam Gaudette. So we'll get to know Matthew Highmore at 8:30. So that leaves the next segment for What We Learned. Send in your What We Learns to the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. The smart alternative, visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com. Be sure to include WWL so we can filter the inbox.
And a reminder, the Halford and Bruff Show in the morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. If you're closing your business and you're not sure what to do with all your assets, let Able Auctions help. They've been helping BC business owners wind down and sell their business assets in an orderly manner for over 30 years. Whether a complete manufacturing plant, a restaurant, or mechanical shop, Able Auctions has seen it and done it all. Email sales at ableauctions.ca and get your free of charge confidential consultation scheduled today. That's sales at ableauctions.ca. Alfred Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Is that a trade deadline promo that just went to air?
Yeah.
Was it?
Not good.
No, it's not. Who do we lay blame for that? Let's do the blame game.
Yeah.
Public shame is a good way to get results.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you.
Well, it's not working with Dom so far, but eventually.
There's a reason why they put me on this show.
I like that Dom fluctuates back and forth between accepting the continual critiques, but then occasionally pushing back.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
But that's what we're trying to teach him, right?
It's called balance, boys.
Yeah. What do you want him to push back on everything? I think you just like you're because no. Bruff likes
I want him to submit eventually.
Here's the thing, I don't know if you know about Bruff, Dom, but he likes a fight.
I haven't noticed.
He likes a fight. Like he likes arguing. It's
good radio.
It is. For sure. I think sometimes I've let
Hopper's
him.
Like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm aware. I'm aware of the good radio. Okay. We promised we'd do some What We Learns, and we're really going to do it. So without further ado, Dom, play the music.
We're going to need a few things for this class.
Boring.
An eagerness to learn. A thirst for knowledge.
So, what did we learn in the last 24 hours?
When life gives you lemons, just say, f*** the lemons and bail.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
All right, minor Matt in Abbotsford, what we learned, Drancer's flagrant public love affair with the Leafs could and should be classified as indecent exposure. Yeah, he loves the Leafs.
Well,
loves the way they play.
Let's be clear. What's really going on here is Drance is a strong advocate for the way in which Kyle Dubas and Brandon Pridham and the rest of that front office orchestrate themselves. And he thinks that there is a certain proof in the pudding element here that needs to happen for hockey.
For the Canucks? Do you think if the Leafs won the Stanley Cup this year, the Canucks would be like, maybe we should get very into analytics and set ourselves up like the Leafs?
Copycat league, right?
Maybe.
Once something gets success, the NHL is quick to follow.
The Canucks are not set up right now in order to operate like the Leafs. They're just too bare bones.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Compared. So I don't have much hope of that happening. And I love it when the Leafs choke. I think it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. And you can call me petty. You can call me pathetic as a fan that I left to cheer for other teams to lose. And I would say, yeah. I know what I am. I am a pathetic sports fan.
Aren't you
at
in the majority,
point. I've
though?
Been driven to be a pathetic sports fan.
But so are many others. Like, you're not a lone wolf
no.
in this game.
One of us. One
Drance,
of us.
Here's the thing about Thomas Drance. He thinks he's better than all of us.
I think he just tries to be objective, air quotes.
Well, I don't like it.
There were air quotes there. By the way, there's a What We Learned in here that said that you used to be a high school basketball announcer?
Yeah, at Holy Cross. I would do the PA for the BC Catholic basketball tournament.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can you give us a drop?
No.
Why not?
Absolutely not.
Come on, give us some PA. Give us some intro PA stuff.
Hell no.
Why not?
Okay.
Tom?
We'll move on. Craig and Campbell River, what we learned, Drance dropped an ameliorated.
Wow.
That's the word. It's in quotes. Ameliorated. In his Athletic article yesterday, it was such a typical Drance Secaresian drop. Like, that's the verb you choose? The pure high horsery of it all.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Ameliorated.
I don't know. I could look it up right now if you want. Do you want me to look it up?
Ameliorated. I don't know. It sounds like I made some oatmeal and it was a bit ameliorated. I wasn't very happy with it.
To make or become better. To improve.
Yeah, take something. Ameliorate. Take something bad and make it better.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just say improve?
Like when I returned on Monday, I ameliorated the show.
Yeah, you did.
I actually asked him to send that in. That was a setup from about 5 minutes ago. It's pretty good. There's a lot of what we learns about Steve Yzerman. One of them said Steve Yzerman is the pirate raiding the NHL. Yzerman's a really good GM. I'm a huge Steve Yzerman fan. I think that he sees things 4 or 5 steps in advance better than any general manager in hockey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and we'll see because the proof will be in the pudding if the Red Wings can come out of this rebuild in a good way.
Right. But here's the interesting thing. There's having a plan, and then there's also the acknowledgement that sometimes you got to adapt and sometimes you have to move off that plan. Mm-hmm. Like, this is all a very fluid thing. And that's why, like, sometimes the Canucks get and I think the front office gets a negative rap when people are like, they don't have any plan. They're just doing everything fly by night. I don't think that it's necessarily that black and white.
I think the Canucks look far too short term.
Okay, that's fine. I don't really want to bog it down in that. Okay. I want to get back to
what we learned.
Yeah. But just real quick on the Yzerman thing, the situation with Mantha, that was not an easy decision to make because he signed Mantha to a deal that pays him $5.7 million annually. Like, that was a deal where it's like, you're going to be here for a while. And he's only 26. Mm-hmm. But Yzerman said, as we looked at where we were going as a franchise, it didn't line up. We thought it was going to, but by the time that we think that we might be ready to compete, Mantha might be a little bit longer in the tooth than we initially thought.
So here's a question for you right now.
Okay.
Will JT Miller sign an extension with Vancouver? Because I'm looking at this guy right now. He's 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
After this season, he's 2 years, and then he's UFA.
So what are you asking?
Is he going to be worth signing an extension, or does that contract turn into a bad one? Are the Canucks ever going to really be a Stanley Cup contender with JT Miller in his prime? In his prime, that's the most important part. In his prime on the Vancouver Canucks. And if your answer is no, what do you do?
Okay. One, it's a great question, a great point to bring up, because it speaks to organizational philosophy. If it was a different club, I think they would look at it and they would say, if our window is in 2 years and Miller's going to be 30, we need to look at this right now. I bet if you were to ask the Canucks right now, they would say JT is going to be a key part of our future moving forward.
Benny would be like, he's a good player. Why would I trade a good player? He's a good player on the team.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. And that's, I think, a lot of the thinking that went into mm-hmm. Tanner Pearson.
I wanted to play this or read this one from Brian from Nanaimo.
Yep.
What we learned is normally nice guy Jim Benning sounded like a bitter ex after a breakup when discussing Adam Gaudette and why he was traded.
You know, he's a 24-year-old player this year. You know, to be quite honest, we expected him to take another step this year. You know, he's played all right for us, but we were expecting, you know, after the season he had last year, we're expecting him to come in and take another step. And we didn't really feel like he did that. Now, maybe a change of scenery, he can, you know, get that back.
I think he might have just was being honest there.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But the pushback from a lot of people was, you've said this about Jake Virtanen taking a step year after year after year. But the answer has always been, we still think Jake's got a lot of potential mm-hmm. and will be a real good player. So what's the difference here? So, you know, yes.
Draft position.
Well, I mean, that would be one. The other would be, and Jason brought this up at the break when we were talking about it, do you think it would be as easy to move Jake Virtanen in a trade right now? Because I don't.
They might have to buy Jake out in the summer.
Yeah.
His contract isn't great. His contract next season,
not good.
Salary-wise, is what, $3.75 million?
Mm-hmm. And if you acquire him and you're going to go into ARB or whatever, or the qualifying offer alone is tacked on to the second year of that deal. So you're looking at it and you're saying, how many goals does he have again?
Yeah.
Why was he a healthy scratch to start the bubble last year?
Mm-hmm.
All these questions come to the forefront. So
why does everyone chug a beer or shotgun a beer? Like, what's going on with this player?
Right. And the thing with Gaudette is, say what you will about him falling short of expectations this year, he was movable.
That was a very low risk gamble for Chicago to take on him. Mm-hmm. They saw that he put up a decent amount of points last season. They know that he's talented. Now, whether he's ever going to be strong enough or defensively sound enough to play regularly in the NHL as a center, that remains to be seen. But they probably saw in Matthew Highmore a guy that was, you know, I don't want to call guys like this a dime a dozen, but there's more of them than... I think they just saw more upside in Adam Gaudette, even if Matthew Highmore has established himself as an NHL player with a role.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was what they were betting on.
Jay in Ladysmith, hashtag WWL, what we learned, the Taylor Hall curse is enough to bring the price down to a cap dump in a second rounder. That's from Jay in Ladysmith. Okay, the Wyshynski came on yesterday and was spitting hot fire about how everyone is dumping on Buffalo and it's not really fair. And then as things came out yesterday, it was pretty clear after especially the comments from Kevin Adams and Taylor Hall himself that Kevin Adams was really dealing just with the Buffalo Sabres, or sorry, with the Boston Bruins. Yeah. It wasn't as if he had this huge sweepstakes because remember, Taylor Hall had a clause in his contract which allowed him to largely dictate where he wanted to go.
What was the clause? Was it like a very,
very
limited trade clause?
Yeah. He basically called his shot. And remember, prior to signing with the Buffalo Sabres, Taylor Hall had flirted with going to Boston. So I understand the initial reaction to the sticker shock and it being so low.
Cap Friendly says he has a full no move clause.
Right. So okay. He dictated where he wanted to go to waive, right? That was it. And I got a feeling that it wasn't like, hey, Kevin, here's 10 teams, right?
This is from Salmon Arm Sean. What we learned, the Vancouver market is just insane. True. He says, they get furious when we don't do anything at the deadline, yet want to revolt that we moved on from Gaudette. This guy, meaning Gaudette, has run out of credit on his Hobie Baker, and this market associates far too much worth to awards given to players when on previous teams. I don't think that last part is true. I haven't heard anyone that sits there and is like, he won the Hobie Baker. How could you trade him?
Yeah, I almost forgot that he won it.
I think if there's upset in the market, it's not that the Canucks traded Adam Gaudette. It's the return they got. Because if you had traded Adam Gaudette at the end of last season, for example, before the bubble, don't you think the return would have been a lot higher?
Yeah, that's what that one sticks out.
It always seems like the Canucks are
selling low.
Are selling low,
right. waiting,
buying high.
Right. Wait. Right? Yeah. Well,
free agency, they're always buying high, and trades, they always seem to be selling low. Or even if it's not a trade, they're just losing. Like Ben Hutton, for example, who I know he's not going to win the Norris Trophy ever.
New member of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's true. But can we all agree that at one point he was fairly highly regarded in Vancouver? And some people thought, okay, this is a guy that could be a future building block in Vancouver.
He won the team's best defenseman award.
There you go. He left the organization for nothing. Similar to Troy Stetcher. It's just that you've got these assets that you think are, you're not sitting there and going, man, these are like core pieces, amazing assets, but they are assets. And then they end up going out the door for what most people seem to think is not a very good return. Now that's very unfair to Matthew Highmore right now, because I've never seen Matthew Highmore play and I want to wait to make my judgment on him until I can see him in a few games. Actually, more than a few games. I find with these guys in the bottom six, you have to watch a few times in order to see what they are. We will talk with Matthew Highmore at 8:30, and we'll get to know one of the newest members of the Vancouver Canucks. But coming up next, Thomas Strantz from The Athletic, who wants the Leafs to succeed, and I don't like it.
It's the Halford and Bruff Show. Halford and Bruff in the Morning, brought to you by Able Auctions. Business assets to sell? If so, email sales@ableauctions.ca.